I don't think it gets any greater than this.
5 weeks from today, the NFL draft starts Thursday night, ESPN Live from Chicago. Not Radio City Music Hall anymore. They're doing it in Chi-Town.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Put in the broad shoulder city known as Chicago. And I think you got the right setup.
So I have five scenarios here.
Okay, let's bring it on. So you got this ranked in priorities of what we need, or are they just round at a time the most likely to show up?
Yeah, three different scenarios of five different scenarios of draft possibilities for the Minnesota Vikings. Okay. Obviously, all of need, whether it be safety, linebacker, running back, cornerback, offensive lineman. Okay. And so we'll go down here. Five different scenarios. I want you to tell me which one you'd rather have.
Okay.
The first one being in the first round, taking safety Landon Collins from Alabama. Second round running back, Tevin Coleman from Indiana. Third round taking cornerback, Quentin Rollins from Miami. Remember the third round draft picks we've had for cornerbacks in the recent history of the Minnesota Vikings, Marcus McCauley in 2007 and Asher Allen in 2009. So not great.
No, not really.
So that's the first one. The second one being first round pick, Trey Waynes. Oh. Second round pick, Cedric Akbahayu. Texas A&M, it's like Ushki Bushki. I can't say his name.
It's pretty tough, some of these guys.
Had he entered the draft last year, though, he was commonly regarded as a potential number one overall pick, but he chose to stay in school, and he tore his ACL early January, plummeting his draft stock. And then the third round would be running back David Cobb. So cornerback, offensive tackle, running back. The third scenario.
I'm telling you what, that's sounding pretty good right now.
Third scenario, linebacker Shaq Thompson. Played linebacker, safety, and running back in college. Second-round pick, Kevin Johnson of Wake Forest. He's methodical in man-to-man coverage, as many young defensive backs do. He struggles to defend against curls and quick outs. Johnson is top of the class against vertical passing attacks and deep crosses. The third-round pick would be offensive guard A.J. Cann from South Carolina. And he is the definition of a mauling run blocker, often pushing his man backward into the defense's second level. In this regard, Cann isn't boring on film as he maneuvers as a run-blocking frequently appearing to be violent and powerful, isn't quite as dominant in pass protection.
Not that that can't be taught. It can, you know, it can be coached up, but certainly it's hard to coach a guy how to be that powerful and how to be that mean and aggressive and with the right results to be able to push a guy straight off the ball. There are so many matchups in the NFL that are so... between an offensive and defensive lineman, the size and the strength is so equal almost that it's rare that you find someone that can just push someone straight back, and that's why I liked Mike Iupati so much. He's the same kind of guy.
The fourth scenario has us taking tackle guard Brandon Sheriff from Iowa. Second round pick, inside linebacker Benardrick McKinney. I like him a lot. Mississippi State. He's 6'4", weighs 246 pounds. His play recognition and anticipation yield subpar grades. He takes good pursuit angles, a wrap-up tackler, provides a thump to his tackling, does show good coverage skills. He could be a three-down inside linebacker. And then finally in the third round in this scenario, cornerback Byron Jones from Kentucky. Not only did Jones' jaw-dropping broad jump break the NFL scouting combine record, he broke the world record in Indianapolis. Incredibly gifted athlete, but maybe an even more impressive person. According to an NFC North scout, he's a high character player with vision and instincts you want from an NFL cornerback.
That's fascinating. Breakdown for him.
Finally, the fifth scenario in the first round would be Devontae Parker, the wide receiver from Louisville, played college with Teddy Bridgewater. Second round would be Ronald Darby, Florida State, 5'11", 193. Arguably the second best pure cover cornerback in the class, right behind Trey Waynes. Competes for the number two spot with Kevin Johnson, who I had mentioned earlier. And then finally in the third round would be inside linebacker Denzel Perryman from Miami of Florida. Doesn't show much on paper, but his tape qualifies him as an early round pick. He's only 5'11", 236. But there may not be a more consistent heavy hitter in the inside linebacker class.
Those are all pretty well studied out. There aren't too many bad scenarios that you just listed. I think that probably starting off with a wide receiver with the 11th pick is probably not exactly the way you'd want to go right now, especially after acquiring the services of Mike Wallace from Miami not much of a trade, but then dumping Greg Jennings. What was the second one again? It was Trey Waynes, and it was
this Agbahi guy,
the big guy that blew his ACL.
Yeah.
And then it was
David Cobb.
Cobb, the running back. That's not bad. Then the third one was Sheriff, and then you had the... It was the linebacker?
Yeah, Benardrick McKinney.
And then the third one was,
Byron Jones, cornerback, Connecticut.
That was impressive too. And I just love the notion of going offensive lineman, linebacker. That's a really nice scenario too. It's between the second scenario and the third. I still have to stay with Trey Wayne. Trey Wayne, I think is just the ticket for what we need, that defensive secondary. I think our defense is going to be pretty, well manned up, especially with like Terrence Newman to be able to help that kid out.
I'd kind of like to mix and match. I'd say Trey Wayne's in the first round, cornerback, running back Tevin Coleman. In the second round, that is obviously if we know what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson. If he's going to be on the team, we don't need a running back.
Big unknown. Big unknown. A lot of big gaping unknowns that we have to deal with. We're one of the few teams that have to worry about something like that with a player of that caliber still hanging in the balance. I mean, we're talking about Adrian Peterson here. But that's the way it goes. And that's how the draft works. You have to be sharp and on your toes to be able to pull it off.
One guy who may be available for us is Randy Gregory.
Beast, Randy Gregory from Nebraska. But he's got some issues. But we'll talk about his pro day next on Radioactive.
This is the reason why I got here, you know, where I'm at right now. So as long as I keep doing the same thing I'm doing, going there and work out every day hard and, you know, stay on the right diet, you know, I'll be there again. I'll be in a good, pretty good shape.
Randy Gregory. Speaking from his pro day at the University of Nebraska, standout defensive end, a possible prospect as an outside linebacker. I guess you could just leave a question mark over that space because he hasn't done a lot of that. But they know what they're talking about. They know what kind of athlete he is. They know how he moves, what kind of lateral range he has. So it depends on your range and how quickly you can go sideline to sideline to play outside linebacker. But he definitely is that kind of athlete. He was talking about being in condition and ready for the draft. But he's already had a couple hiccups.
Yeah. From the sources that we talked to and the things that I've read, that Randy Gregory, very high on the Minnesota Vikings draft board before he failed this most recent drug test at the NFL Combine.
Did you say what kind of drugs it was?
Marijuana.
Okay, recreational.
Yeah, so he was slated to go in the top five of the NFL draft. Every year it happens to someone, and I'm just never understand why when it's your big job interview, millions upon millions of dollars are on the line, the combine, the holy grail of job interviews and all of sports, and then you show up and you test positive for marijuana, which is exactly what former Nebraska pass rusher Randy Gregory is being touted as a top 10 pick in this year's draft, but he had marijuana in his system. In fact, Gregory officially learned of his failed drug test about 2 weeks ago during a phone call with his dad. Listen to what happened here. Believing he'd received a letter from the NFL inviting him to attend the draft in Chicago, Gregory asked his dad, go ahead and open the envelope. It wasn't a draft invitation. It was a failed drug test. Oopsies!
Dad, can you quickly put that back in the envelope, lick the envelope, and reseal it and pretend that you didn't open it and also forget what it said? Can you imagine having your dad open that?
But this isn't the first time this has happened. Gregory said the first time he smoked weed was after graduating from Hamilton Southeastern High School in Indiana and then before enrolling at Arizona Western Community College in 2011. He had failed to qualify academically at Purdue, which represented a considerable disappointment to him, obviously, and Gregory said he turned to marijuana to cope with the anxiety.
Oh.
He sat out the 2012 season with a broken leg but was still pursued by major college. I mean, the guy's a beast. In 2013, he transferred to Nebraska, where he officially tested positive for marijuana twice. In January 2014 and April 2014, Gregory said Nebraska officials told him that he would be kicked off the team if he was going to fail a third drug test. Gregory said he has not smoked weed since December, but because the THC levels were so high, were so elevated at the combine, the drug remained in the system at the combine, thus the positive test. Now, I'm not the biggest of marijuana experts when it comes to this, and I don't know how long it stays in your system, but from December to February doesn't seem like that's plausible. I feel like he's lying. He's lying about it. I don't think it stays in your system that long.
I don't know either. I really don't. But I find it hard to believe that those kinds of levels of marijuana would still be found, traces of that being found in this test for the pre-combine. And so I agree. I think he's probably not telling the truth. I can't think that I can live with that either, because you're looking for at least a person, not a player, a person of character who tells you the truth when you ask him a question. Not so much the football side of things, but just if I'm asking you a question, can I trust you and believe you and those kinds of things moving forward with football in your career? If I'm a GM and I know that he constantly is telling a fib or not telling the truth, that's as big a strike against him as the positive test.
They said the THC levels were super high at the combine. Mm-hmm. And again, Gregory knew he was going to be tested there, having flunked two drug tests during his time at Nebraska.
Yeah.
He's probably aware of how marijuana lingers in your system, and that may be, instead of like firing up, maybe he thought about the consequences that would stem from his decisions, especially the biggest job interview, like we said, of his lifetime going into the NFL. So looking at this, when I read this morning, are we excited as a Minnesota Viking fan because a top 10 pick will likely follow us now at number 11? Or do we not touch him at all because he already tested positive once in the NFL, so one more positive test, he's missing four games, another positive test after that, he's missing a year. Just look at Josh Gordon. So much talent, but you can't get him on the field. He's smoking weed all the time.
We've seen a lot of it. We've actually had some of it here. Ontario Smith wasn't a bad running back, but he could not stay out of trouble. And we've had Randy Moss, who was passed throughout the NFL draft, and we took a chance on him. It worked out very well for us.
But we've had the same thing with Percy Harvin.
We've had that with Percy.
Same thing with Adrian Peterson with his injury. I mean, it wasn't drug use back then, but it was injury, and he fell to us at, I believe, number 7 overall because of those concerns. And so do you look back at those players that have fallen to the Vikings in the NFL draft with great, unbelievable talent and have made such great differences on the field for the purple, but they always end up causing some sort of headache.
And that's the problem, because when you weigh into it, it's a character issue, and you want to know that they're sharp and they think well on their feet. And quite frankly, those are just bad decisions. Whether it's marijuana or whether it's, you know, something else, it's a bad decision that you continue to make. It's being and a couple times you're on the hot seat at Nebraska. Now you do this in front of, like you said, possibly one of the biggest days of your entire life to mold your future and possibly be a trailblazer for your entire family for years to come and generations to come, is to have that kind of money that he's looking at, because he is that kind of player that would probably get that kind of bank to come in and play in the National Football League. But because he makes such poor decisions with his life, his very life, I don't think I want to take a chance on him. So if he is at 11 and he is a top 5, top 10 player, I'm going to probably let him be someone else's big catch.
And I don't know that I'd necessarily disagree with you, but I want to hear from Vikings fans, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105, or you can tweet us at 105 The Ticket. But give us a call, and as a Viking fan, if Randy Gregory, a top 5 pick, is sitting there at number 11, is it hard to pass on him? Because, I mean, you think about it, one more failed drug test throughout his career, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he could be a 10-year veteran. He tests positive for marijuana. Boom, out four games.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. And I'm not aware of exactly what the NFL drug policy is in terms of first time, second time, third time offender. I'm not totally sure. It could have changed by now, but he does no good to us if he's on the bench. Like Josh Gordon, good a receiver as he is, he can't play and make plays from the bench. So what good is he? He's nothing. You shouldn't have drafted him.
Here's what the interwebs is saying about marijuana. As a rough guide, if you smoke the occasional joint, it'll stay in your system for up to 10 days. If you smoke regularly, up to 45 days. And if you smoke constantly, 90 days. So if you're smoking constantly, I guess obviously it was 2 months.
That's the December 2 combine right there.
As for being detectable in a drug test, well, this depends on the type of drug test. Urine test will detect up to a month prior, but a blood test will show positive if you've smoked any weed in the last 6 months. The NFL Combine, are they taking a whiz test or a blood test?
I would think probably a urine sample only. I can't think they're doing a blood test. I mean, call me if someone knows out there. That's a very costly test, but not to say they don't have money to throw around to do things like that or time.
And they're serious about the drug issue in the National Football League.
Maybe they are putting them in through a blood lab along with it. For the drug policy.
But as many times as he tested positive, I mean, this is his third time, but twice at Nebraska in 2014, the guy has to be smoking constantly. Has to be.
Based on what you're saying right now and what you're reading is that if you smoke constantly, it's good in your system for up to 6 months in a blood test and 90 days within a urine sample. That's the kind of, if he's telling the truth, which we don't know because you never know if he is or not, but if he's telling the truth and he stopped smoking sometime in December with combines and the testing coming up, I think mid-February, last last part of February?
Yeah, mid to last.
Then
yeah.
that gives you that 60, 70, 80 days where it's still in your system, even by urine.
But for some teams, isn't that a dream come true where all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, Randy Gregory, a top five pick, and he's available to us? That's one of those home run hitters that you are just, you're foaming at the mouth to get when he drops to you. That's why you sit there and teams move up and down. And if he falls to number 11, obviously Rick Spielman, who likes to trade back, trade up, do all these moves, would probably be like, oh my God, Randy Gregory's here. Let's see what kind of value we can get if somebody would like to come up, because pass rushers are, one of the most sought after positions in all of football.
Featured position.
I'd say probably right behind quarterback, and especially when it comes down to the draft.
It's big, a wide receiver, a quarterback, you know, certainly a big time pass rusher from the opposite side of the quarterback, lined up on the right side. But no, that's what you call taking a chance on a flyer. Taking a chance. Do you really want to? They decided they'd take a chance. If your personality sort of matches theirs, maybe you're the kind of guy that would do that. Because they take chances, and other teams are like, you know, we think we can keep this kid corralled.
They
can
always
you?
Cause headaches. I mean, just in the past for the Minnesota
We've
Vikings.
Had amongst the greatest athletes on the football field ever, in some cases with Percy Harvin, with Randy Moss. We've had some great, great, great football players. We've seen them come and go because of marijuana.
Radio roulette.
Let's do it. We got someone?
Hi, 105 The Ticket. Who's this?
Mike,
what do you have for us?
Well, if they haven't got a brain in their head to get rid of this stuff, they're going to lose all that money. Let them be the way they are. You know, let them go.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you, Mike. I think that if you're going to be that kind of guy, I can't trust you on a week-to-week basis.
Not at all.
I have to know what I'm getting.
If you're not, I don't care how good you are, if you're not smart enough to realize that you need to put the dope down until your career's over, well, then you get what you get.
That's it right there.
Amen, brother.
I mean, that's right on the, nailing it right on the head. If put the dope down.
I couldn't agree more. The NFL drug policy, according to the internet, again, the primary, let's see here, it's changing. But as in the case now, a first-time offense lands the player in the substance abuse program without a suspension, which is obviously what's happening, or is going to happen to Randy Gregory.
Do they count the suspensions from college? Do those?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Once he tested positive at the combine,
he's in the NFL, that's an NFL test.
He's not in the NFL.
But he's automatically, I would imagine, because he failed an NFL test, that he would be in the substance abuse program once he enters the NFL.
I think you're probably right.
Let's see here. The second positive test is simply a 2-game fine. Each additional violation receives the following progressive discipline. 4-game fine, 4-game suspension, 10-game suspension after that. Player can therefore test positive for marijuana 3 times without getting suspended after that.
Say that again, please.
A player can therefore test positive for marijuana 3 times without getting suspended.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's where it is then. So you can only imagine what Josh Gordon has done to mess his life up the way he has. I mean, we're talking about a lot of money. We're talking about a lot of money. That dope had better been good. That cost him a lot of damn money.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, whether it comes to dope or sex or gambling or whatever these addictions that these people have, it's a momentary high or whatever you're getting out of it, but it can screw you for so long. I understand that. I mean, life is tough, and there are so many addictions, and there are so many
vices.
So many vices and temptations out there. But come on, man.
I mean, my gosh, you've got to be able to think, and I think that's the test more for me anyway. If I'm a GM, I'm looking at, are you capable of making a good decision without having your hand held?
It's a multi-million dollar investment.
Because you're not in college anymore, your parents aren't around. I mean, are you going to be able to handle all this money and still need to smoke marijuana?
Yeah.
Because if you are, you're not my kind of guy.
No, amen, brother. One more phone call. We only have about a minute. G-Man from South Minneapolis here on 105 The Ticket. What's up, G-Man?
Hey, Star. Hey, you guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to say this. I don't know if you guys remember, and I know you do, Star. Warren Sapp tested positive for marijuana.
Yes, he did.
And Randy Moss tested positive the next year. You remember we passed over Warren Sapp for...
Yes, we did.
Derek Alexander. Who played 2 years.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying it's right, but it's half legal everywhere. But it's not right to do it when it's illegal with the job you're trying to do.
Correct.
But all I'm saying is anybody can make a turn around, you know what I mean?
Agreed.
You know what I mean? I mean, you did it wrong, and you try to right your wrong.
Agree.
Gregory he's a beast.
Yeah, he is.
He just, I mean, it's all over the news, all over SportsCenter, all over everything. I'm just saying, don't condemn him. You know what I mean? Because he made a mistake. Everybody deserves a second chance. And I think if he falls to the Vikings, you can't pass that kind of player when you need defense to win the championships anyway.
Yeah, but G-Man.
But why not? Why not Trey Waynes? Or why not, you know, another one of these big kids coming out that you know are going to turn out? That, but, I mean, Trey Waynes at corner, we're pretty much suited in defensive ends. And outside linebacker, if you want to count, if Greenway does get inked, and I didn't see where he actually did.
But, yet, they
but we have Barr and we have Greenway, so I'm thinking Greenway's coming back with a restructured deal. But I don't know if I can do that at that position.
But it's not the same. At the same time, it's not the first time, obviously, we read through the story that he's tested positive. He did it twice in Nebraska, was almost kicked off to Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then he knew the combine was coming up. He knew that was happening. Yeah. It's not a random drug test like I'm sure it happened a couple of times in Nebraska or like it'll happen in the NFL. He knew he was going to get drug tested in Indianapolis and still tested positive anyway. That's the red flag that drives me insane. But anyway, G-Man, we got to take a break, my man. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate everything you said. Right. I mean, you're right. You're right on many points.
Yeah.
But everyone does deserve a second chance, obviously. But my gosh, when you're talking about this kind of money and this kid always doing this kind of thing, it's really rare that they're going to take a chance anymore because of the Josh Gordons of the world and so on and so forth. But thank you for your phone call. Like you might have begun. We're going to come back with Jim Rich, our very good friend, Jim Rich. He is one of the best in the business, and he leads the brackets. And so going into tonight's game, we'll talk about the Wild, I know, about tomorrow's game against the Calgary Flames. We'll go through his brackets.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, we really want to do that again, but we will do that because we think a lot of him. Let's do it next.
We feel that we put ourselves in a good position, and now is certainly not the time to feel good about that. Now is the time to push a little bit harder, and not a lot of games left here, and a lot of quality opponents. So two goals, obviously, is number one, you have to make sure you get in, and number two is you make sure that your game's sharp so that when you're in, you're ready to go.
And what a lineup we have for this remaining eight-game schedule. Mike Yeo talking about that, and certainly, even after all the big push, you cannot take a look back and pat yourself on the back and tell yourselves what kind of job you've done and how good you are now, especially now, because you still have to win four out of the next eight just to get in, and there are some tough people on the lineup. Jim Rich, you're part of the lineup every day here at Radioactive Sports at 5:15 every day. You tell us how easy this is going to be. Mike Yeo is trying to set up the mindset, of course, of what they should be. Is he doing a good job?
Is he doing a good job? Was that a question?
Yeah, that's a question.
Yes. There's my answer.
I just feel like, you know, the guys, obviously, you can't let these guys get too high on their laurels and start thinking that they're better than they really are. They managed to screw up most of the first half of the season. They're good enough to have pulled back to within to where they are now. But is he saying the right things right now?
You need to be the coach. You need to come in there and just knock over a few stick racks, pull some jerseys over some players' heads and say, look, you guys screwed up the whole first half of the season, nearly cost me my job, nearly got half of you traded. All right, let's finish the job. We're not going to sit here and dog it the last eight games. We're going to come in smoking hot, and we're going to blow out whoever we draw in four games. You need to come in there and deliver that message, because that's what I think they need to hear right now.
I think so, too. I have to believe if you've come this far and you still aren't in it, you still have to win a lot to get in, even after all the work you've done to fight yourself back, clawed back to where we're at right now. That's how bad we were in the first half of the season. I mean, if you let go now and you don't get in, that's got to be the most demoralizing thing going into next season that you could possibly live with, is that you got that close and still didn't get in.
Yeah, it would be devastating. But, you know, everybody kind of says, well, it's not that hard to make up points and to get yourself into playoff contention. You were only 6 points out. You know, you should be able to get that done quickly. And you've seen how painfully slow this process is. because people get points when they lose in the National Hockey League. I don't know why that is, why you're rewarded for being a loser, but in the NHL, they pat you on the head. It's kind of like kids in school nowadays. Even though you finish last, you still get a trophy. It's it must be the attitude of the National Hockey League higher-ups that they want to reward you for being inept. But in any event, you've seen how hard it is to get into this situation to be a top eight team. And even though you're still taking, you know, half the league makes the playoffs, over half make the playoffs, and still you see how difficult it is to get in. So I don't think the message is lost on him. I don't think he's really worried about the team failing on the last eight games and saying, oh, we've mission accomplished, we're in. I think these guys are hungry. I think they know what it took last year. They didn't like it the way it ended in Chicago for the guys that were here last year. And the guys they have brought in, Vanek is buying into it, and he's learning a new role, and he's accepting it. So it seems like, at this point, everything is headed in the right direction.
Talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9 about the Minnesota Wild and their playoff run here the last eight games. They are 3 points away. And, Jim, you're talking about how hard it is to make up ground and make up points. They're 3 points away from the number three spot in the Central, which is the Chicago Blackhawks. They play them for the third, one of the three last games on the road of the season. Only 3 points away. And I think Mike Yeo was asked this morning at practice, what are the chances? Are you still trying to get out of that wild card playoff spot and still trying to attack the Chicago Blackhawks? Because it seems like they're pretty comfortable when it comes to being 5 points ahead of the Los Angeles Kings, which would be the team next in line to knock them out of the wild card playoff spot. So is it easier to overtake Chicago, which is 3 points ahead, or easier to lose out in the playoffs here and drop 5 points to the Los Angeles Kings?
I think they're pretty much locked in where they sit right now because Chicago, I think, still has a game at hand, although the Blackhawks did lose their last game, and they haven't played very well lately, so there is an opportunity, and you do have a game head-to-head with them. You know, even if you pass Chicago, it doesn't give you home ice. It just supposedly gives you a weaker opponent, which would be Nashville, I think, if they got to that three spot, if St. Louis remains on top. So, you know, that may be something they're eyeing, but Yo's answer to that question today was, you know, we're just looking at Calgary. We play Calgary, then we look at the Kings. We got to deal with the Kings. And, you know, where we end up in the standings is great and all that, but it's not the focus. There's not a Blackhawk logo in the locker room when I was in there today on the wall that's with a bunch of darts in it. But it's not like that right now. I think they just want to, you know, make sure they have their house in order for whoever they draw because, you know, I don't think he wants them to set their sights on, well, if we don't get this, well, it's a disappointment that we didn't get the third spot. You know, I think he's just pushing for an overall feel of confidence in how they're playing and keep moving in that direction.
So, I mean, it's onward and upward. I mean, they have to take that mentality. I'm like you. They just have come so far. I think they're set. Their minds are set that they're going to do this thing until the very end and play all eight out. And have a feeling going into the playoffs that, you know, I think is like no other team we've had here in a long, long time. Anybody, because of the way we've found ourselves and found what kind of team this really is that you can do a lot of damage, not only get into the playoffs, but make a nice run.
Well, I was talking to Jordan Leopold over there at the X after the morning skate today, and we were talking about how this team feels to him. I said, you're a newcomer walking into this room, so you haven't been here all season, but you've been around the NHL. You've been all over the place. What does this room feel like to you? And this was, you know, not on camera, so it wasn't the pat answer. And he said that he feels a real confidence in this room. He said, we got killed in that first period against the Islanders. Absolutely killed, but it was 0-0, and we came in like it was like, all right, well, we just got to keep doing what we're doing, and we're going to turn this around. He said there wasn't any panic in the room. There wasn't guys throwing sticks or going like, what the hell are you guys doing out there? Let's get what, you know, none of that. It was like, all right, that wasn't good, but let's just try not to repeat that. And he said, for the teams he's been on, he said, this kind of has the feel of a Calgary team he was on way back in the day. And he said, we scrambled to get into the playoffs, and all of a sudden we caught fire. And he said, we made it all the way to the Cup Finals, a game seven against Tampa Bay, which they ended up losing. But he goes, to me, he said, that's, of all the teams I've been on, that's what it feels like in the short time I've been here. So that kind of says a lot if Leo thinks that this is a team that can really get on a run.
No, they've definitely shown it, I think, down the stretch since the All-Star break that they have the guts to do it and to come back and dig out of that hole and get into the playoffs and hopefully make a run here. Talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9, you're a resident hockey guy. We talk to you every day at 5:15. We haven't had a chance to ask you about the MLS announcement yesterday and Major League Soccer coming to Minneapolis. What are your thoughts on soccer and the stadium and all that stuff that's been discussed in the media and at press conference yesterday at Target Field?
I think the most ironic part is that I like the Vikings' response when they were notified that they weren't going to be the partner with MLS, that they said, well, we presented such a great option to the MLS, and our option does not include any taxpayer money.
Yeah.
And I go, huh, isn't it funny how they're looking out for our dollars now?
Yeah, well, you know, they're thinking of us. They're thinking of the people here in this state. They don't want to see them taxed anymore.
After spending
because they sucked every single dollar up that they could get. They sponged up everything, or they were going to go to Los Angeles. That's what they thought of our tax money then.
But that's the statement they put out there.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
very
sure.
Entertaining that, hey, that's cool. They got our backs now because we want you to have all your money so you can buy your personal seat license in the new stadium.
Yeah, we don't want you to have to give it to the MLS. You have to be able to get those great 50-yard line seats over at the new stadium. So,
correct, or buy your brick today.
Or go ahead and buy a brick, and we'll also even throw in like a star with your name on it in front of the stadium on the walk around the stadium. So, oh, God.
Just trying to make money at all time. One more quick question before we...
Oh, all right. Well,
no, go ahead,
back to the MLS. So I think it's a good thing. I think they went with the right group. The MLS went with the right group as far as building a strong soccer team. You know, the Vikings, it would have been, okay, we got to hire a soccer coach. Fred Zamberletti, have you ever worked with soccer players?
Fred Zamberletti.
I mean, it would have been like that,
Fred.
I think. And this is going to be a grassroots team. They've done it for a long time. They know what it takes. I think these are the right guys to be in charge.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Jim
funny.
Rich, Fox 9, real quick, one more question for you and the superstar before we have to let you go. The San Francisco 49ers have waived offensive lineman and bullied Jonathan Martin. Would he be a fit here at left guard for the Minnesota Vikings?
I think you wait till after the draft to see what's out there if you want to go that route. I think he's not a guy that is going to be, if he's already been cut, there's obviously flaws in his game. I haven't looked at game film of him. I don't think you have to worry about, whatever is past. Off the field stuff or whatever's happened in locker rooms. I don't think that's his biggest concern. I think you wait to see how the draft plays out. And if you don't get what you like in the draft, then you start looking at options like that. But at this point, unless you can get them super cheap, I think you wait till after the draft to go add a piece like that.
I agree. There's got to be a reason for him being out there and being made available like this. He was a tackle. He wasn't a guard. I mean, there are so many reasons that it doesn't make any sense to acquire a guy like that right now. I'd rather take my chances with David Yankee and whatever else we could pick up in the draft. And maybe even another veteran, someone of a little higher level of play that we know of that plays actual guard than him. I can't see it either, but I agree with what you're saying, Jimmy. That's all the time we have, though. We've got to get going.
Bye!
What do you think of the giant Polish guy they signed today?
Uski Buski? It's a heck of a name.
Lord, what a monster. he's 6'9", 351 pounds. I mean, what a beast. Huge.
Babatunde, and how do you say his last name?
I have no clue.
we call him Uski Buski here, but it's Babatunde.
I break into a sweat when I see a name like that cross the wire and I have to try to pronounce it.
Exactly.
Well, that'll give us another reason to watch you on Fox 9 for the rest of the evening tonight, Jim's Rich.
Thank you. Thank you. It'll be comical. It'll sound like they signed an army, because every time I say his name, it'll be different.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Good luck in the brackets tonight.
Who's number one?
Well, yeah, I think it's Jim Rich. And you got Wichita State in the Final Four. I don't see that happening, but thanks,
Jim. I don't
Jim.
Either, but they look good at the time.
Take care, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We'll talk to you.
Yep.
See you, man.
Next up, a little hardball. We'll just change the shape of the ball. We'll call it hardball this time for all you seam heads out there, with Mike Berardino. Coming up right after the...
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And the 0-1 is ripped to left and deep. That was a hanging slider. Back at the wall. That ball's gone. Torrey Hunter's first homer of the spring. His first homer back in a Twins jersey. Three-run shot.
Telling you what. There's nothing like talking a little hardball with Mike Berardino, because, number one, he's just moved the popcorn machine. He's slid in there where he's really, really nice and comfortable, and he's comfortable about talking with it because it's a little cooler back there. And Mike Berardino, we're hoping that you've already done that and you're seated nicely and comfortably to be able to talk to us.
Well, road game today. We're over in JetBlue Park today. So, popcorn machine and... I was in between. You caught me. I was about to get on the elevator, but I don't want to get on the elevator, and then you'll lose me, and then there'll be chaos. So I'm just going to stand here and talk to you before I get on the elevator.
It's a good
idea.
That.
It's a very good idea.
Yeah, sure.
It's either that or you're looking at artwork at the Chicago Museum.
Yeah, the walls of Jericho would come crashing down if we didn't have Mike Berardino on the radio. We
really would.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think you guys would be pleased with me if I did that.
No. Not at all.
What's the word? What do you got?
Well, I have my first question. Is that all right if I ask him a question real quick? Glenn Perkins looked pretty sharp today. Yeah. Minor league action. He had a scoreless inning himself. He said he'd like to pitch four more times before the regular season starts. What's your update on Glenn Perkins down there in Florida?
Well, I didn't see him today because he was on a minor league field. So we just got the report that he was efficient. He struck out a couple of people, and there were no setbacks. So I don't think he's an issue at all. I think he'll be... fully available to them at the start of the year, and barring any setbacks, and then like we thought, they've handled that properly. It was an oblique strain, and those things, if you rush back from them, can turn into weeks, if not months. I mean, Joe Mauer missed 6 weeks last year with an oblique strain. So in this case, Perkins still able to fire the fastball. I did see him pitch a couple days ago. And I thought his slider was pretty sharp. He threw a lot of them. He threw half of his pitches were sliders, so he's really trying to get the feel for that. But two strikeouts and 11 pitches today, that's a good indicator.
I'm telling you what, the guy looks as sharp as I've seen him in a long time, and I haven't seen him in a long time. But the oblique thing, the obliques seem to be an issue in baseball more so than you ever would think so. After mentioning what happened with Joe last year, and I think that's probably one of the toughest things you can do is pick up a ball bat, pick up a ball bat and try and swing, or pitch. So I can only imagine how recurring something like that must be. But
do you ever have an oblique, Mike?
I have had an oblique issue.
Not fun, right?
No, it's not. It's really not. I mean, we poke at Joe Mauer sometimes. But I can't imagine playing baseball with the kind of twisting motion you have when you pick up a ball bat, Ben.
Ball bat. I hate it when you say that. What about that guy from Toronto that strained an oblique from sneezing?
Yeah, there's crazy injuries every spring, every season. There's myriad ways to get onto the ticker with a goofy injury. But, in Perkins' case, it was initially attributed to a bad belt, which, certainly that came straight from Molitor. A faulty belt mechanism. And that's the sort of thing that can certainly get you into the pantheon of goofy sports injuries. But this one, he came back so quickly, and then there was no more talk about the belt. Apparently, the Twins were able to upgrade Perk's belt, and it has not dug into his side anymore.
That's unbelievable.
It really is. a belt. But
I've had a lot of bad belts in my writing career, and I just assume it's because I'm fat.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I've had a lot of bad belts, but it's probably because my belly is the belt is growing into my belly. That's just one of those things.
It's funny, when I concentrate on your belt, I think I'm looking at the equator.
We're talking to Mike Berardino. It's Hardball every day at 5:30, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted so refreshing. Mike Berardino, an actual baseball question for you. Mike Pelfrey, 132 in spring, making the case for that rotation spot. How's that fifth and final spot looking between he and Tommy Malone?
And Trevor May. They're going to wait on that and see how Trevor May throws tomorrow. To me, Trevor May's been the most impressive of the three, but he's the least likely to get it just because they have the option to send him back to the minor leagues. And a lot of times these roster decisions come down to what carries the least resistance. And, they're talking about resistance. I mean, there's 5.5 million reasons to find a job for Mike Pelfrey somewhere on that staff, and it's probably going to be in the bullpen. Tommy Malone is okay today. He's pretty good overall. He did get hit a little bit in the third and fourth innings. Went 5 innings against the Red Sox, and he had the bases loaded facing Dustin Pedroia in the fourth inning, and it would probably not have been a good career move to give up a grand slam there. And to Tommy's credit, he got a ground ball to third, and then he got the 3, 4, 5 hitters out in order, and they're pretty good guys you might have heard of: Ortiz, Hanley Ramirez, Pablo Sandoval. So those are the last four batters for Tommy Malone today. That's how you win a rotation spot. I have to think that's how it goes.
Making good of his opportunity. Sounds good, Mike. That's Hardball, everybody, with Mike Berardino. Thank you for your time, Mike.
Well, thank you, guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. Next up, it's one of my deals. I'm calling it as I see him. And I'm going to go with Teddy Bridgewater. I want to predict what's going to happen with Teddy Bridgewater coming up next year. Will it be a sophomore slump? Or is he going to come back sharper, more ready than a usual sophomore would coming back into the NFL because of what happened last year and what he's doing this summer already that we know about because of what Brian Murphy told us last week? Let's come back and talk about Ted Bridgewater, shall we?